All right, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 2, which is right there. And I want to preach this morning on this subject, taking care of the baby. How many of you have had and do have babies? Know something about babies? Yeah. And you do know, as I know, when Andrea got here, she was absolutely helpless. What could she do without me or her mother? What would happen to her? What would happen to my son, Ashley? What would happen to my son, Adam? And seemingly, when they came into this world as babies, they were so all just absolutely alike. There's not a whole lot of difference in babies, what they do, what they want, when they get up. There's not much difference in that at all, because their getting up time is not 8 in the morning. Is it? They really don't have many hourly things, and they just do it when they get ready. In fact, if they want attention, maybe they're not wet. Maybe they're not hungry. Maybe they just want to get you up and come play with them. They're bad about lying. Mine came into this world lying. What about yours? Did you have to teach yours to tell you a lie? They knew how to do that when they got here. What you had to do was work real hard to continue over and over and over to get them to tell you the truth. Amen? My son Ashley had a knife one time after Andrea when I walked in the room. I didn't teach him that. And he had the knife. I said, Ashley, what are you doing with that knife? He throwed it on the bed. He said, what knife? I don't have a knife, you know. And that's just what it is. Verse number 22 of chapter number 1. And then we'll go to the first verse starting in chapter number 2. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another. Now, how am I to do that? He says so here, with a pure heart. Don't leave this word out. And I am to do this fervently. And then chapter 2, verse number 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, how am I to do that? As newborn babes desire. Please circle that word desire, whether you understand this or not. Lust is not always a bad word. I know it has a connotation of being bad, and some lust is bad, but the word lust also means a very strong desire. It could be a desire for the Word of God. In that way, it could not be wrong. Amen. So he says here, he said, here's how you do this. As newborn babes, we have all been at some time or another a newborn babe. And then there are some that I know that are here. I don't know who all got saved in your revival meeting, but they are also newborn babes in Christ. Okay? And he says, as newborn babes desire. There's your word. They have an appetite for the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When those babies get here into this world, whatever you touch to the palate, the taste buds in their mouth, they want that. They desire that. That's all they want. That's all they can handle at that time. Amen? And they want it more and more and more and more. Now, taking care of the baby, without a doubt, they're only, now I know I have, your pastor has, Brother Josh is going to preach tonight, Brother Ben preaches, but without a doubt, no matter whether we start in Genesis or whether we choose to preach out of the book of the Revelation, all the way through the Bible, there are only really and truly two messages in the Word of God. We might preach them from different books and places of the Bible, but there are two messages. What is the first and foremost message that we should preach in the Word of God? That is to be saved. If you are not saved, then the first thing you do is get saved, and the only way to be saved is by the grace of God. And so, in order to be saved, we must be lost. We'll never be saved until we find ourselves without God and without the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we have to be lost in order to be saved. The second message that we find in the Word of God, once we are saved, then every message after we're saved is about following the Lord. It's about being Christ-like. It's about following the Lord Jesus Christ in anything that we do. In other words, I am to do all I can to be like Jesus. In other words, I want other people to see Christ Jesus in me. Not to glorify me, but I should be making them thirsty. I should be salty so that they too would have a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, please understand me. I'm doing this as an illustration, not for me, okay? And I don't want you to think that I'm patting myself on the back. It's just something that I know firsthand. Before my wife got saved, we were already married. I thought she was saved before we were married, but she was not. And I remember when she got saved and who our pastor was, and how it came to bat, she went down the aisle. That was not unusual. She had been down the aisle at invitations many a time because she had things that she wanted to pray about. That particular morning or night, was it morning or night? Night. When? Wednesday night. Our pastor was coming back from his home, which he had been on vacation or something, and he was coming back from his home, and God nudged his heart about preaching a message on repentance. And my wife went forward during that message. I was the song leader at the church, and she went down, preached, prayed with it, dealt with it. He got up, surprised me. And he said this, he said, Gail Brown has come tonight trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. She got saved. How long was it after we were married? About 5 years after we married. Now, I'm telling this, I have to stress this. I'm not saying anything about me because I'm doing something I don't know that I'm doing. And when she gave her testimony, she said two or three things. She said, number one, she said, I knew that my husband had something that was missing in my life. I did not have the same thing he had. And that has been, she had tried to talk to me about it, but I ignored her. I just didn't believe it. And so she said, I've tried to talk to him, but he had, and she said, I decided that I was not going to go to hell for him. She said, I decided I wasn't going to hell for my church. She said, I decided I'm not going to hell for anybody else. She said, I don't know if there's been a time that I didn't believe. She said, this is not about belief. She said, this is about repentance. And he preached that message on repentance that night, and she got saved. But I'm saying this, we've got to be an example before other people. That's the message in the Word of God. I don't care what message you preach, it's about being saved, and it's about living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So when sinners come to Christ, they are, the Bible says, that we are born again. When we are born again, then we are, according to 1 Peter 2:2, we are newborn babes. And what do babies need? Babies need loving care. Now, this church is here for the sick. Where their people are whole, they need no physician. So I'm saying this morning, you need a physician. The physician is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a newborn babe, then you are also a part of the nursery here in this church. So a baby needs the church how bad? Sincerely. A baby needs the church desperately bad. So we're here at church. We are not to neglect the babies that are in our loving care. We are here, Brother Ben, to provide for them. We were talking about the church in Sunday school this morning. Wonderful lesson. We are a member of the church because we are accountable to one another. We are also responsible for one another. I just preached recently how with Achan, where all of Israel was blamed for his sin. God said, wait a minute, it affected every one of you, and it does affect you. In other words, if you commit a trespass, then that is not only a sin against Almighty God, but it is a sin against all the other members that are in the church. So the church is the home of the saved. Amen. And we are trusted with, and we are obligated to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There are three basic needs that I find, more than that, I'm sure, but I wrote three of them this morning. And I wish you would put them down. There are three basic needs that are essential for the proper care of the babies and others in our church. They are. Write it down if you would. Number one, and the way you did this when you raised your children was the same way. You went to the doctor, and the doctor told you about the diet. The doctor, you know what? He told you it has to be milk. It has to be either mother's milk or cow's milk or what they have. What's that? Formula. Formula. You mix it up, it looks like milk. And they get a hold to it, and that's what touches that palate, and that's what they want next time and next time and next time and next time. But they give you a proper diet that is essential for that newborn babe, and it is for the right kind of nourishment. Amen? Number two, if you'll write this down, not only is it important for them to have the right diet, the right kind of food for them to take in, but number two, it is important that they have proper exercise. Amen? Exercise is important. Even the Bible, for me and you, talks about it being, it profited just a little, but it does profit. Amen? We may not do much. But exercise is important for the development of the body. Amen? And so number three is this, proper discipline. Now that's where I need to spend a lot of time on this day and time, because in most homes today, I don't know how it happens here, but in places I go, the children are running the family. Don't you see that? Yeah, they are actually in charge. Now, mom and daddy won't tell you that, but they have no discipline for them whatsoever. They let them holler until they... Listen, this happened to me. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you now. I was with a preacher and his wife, and it's not important where I was, not important what church I was in, not important who the other people were. But we went to a little place after church to get some food. And here was probably a two-year-old. It's been a year or two ago. And so we got to this place, and he wanted, or it could have been she. I don't remember that part either. But I just knew that it was a child. And the child had a set of lungs that had been properly exercised. And the child wanted chocolate milk. And the place did not have any chocolate milk. And that child did not give up until they went to the grocery store. Left the table, went to the grocery store and got the chocolate milk and brought it back. You say, well, that's what I'd have done. Shame on you. Amen? That's what happened. Who run that house? Who knew it? The child knew that. And so proper discipline to give the child a feeling of security. Children need that for security. Children need that for love. Children knew that, whether you realize it or not, discipline is even proving your affection for them. And they realize that. These same rules apply not only to physical growth, but it applies to spiritual growth. With the Bible as our guide, let's consider, first of all, if you're writing these things down, there has to be a scriptural diet. We need to have a diet that comes from the Word of God. Maybe morning, noon, and at night will I pray. A diet. Proper spiritual food. There's a challenge here that comes from our scripture that is to the pastor of the church here. And I'm talking about here in the Bible. I'm talking about here. I'm talking about my pastor. I'm talking about to all pastors. And it says to them, feed. Feed the flock of God. Now, I pastored 32 years ago. I have not pastored in 32 years. But I still remember when I did pastor. And I'll just tell you, I'll just be straight up and down. I pastored the Bible Baptist Church in Chiefland, Florida. I often had people come to me and say, "Brother Brown, why don't you preach a message other than salvation?" And I said, "I do, but you're not here. I preach a message other than salvation Sunday night. I preach a message other than salvation on Wednesday night. I said, I preach every Sunday morning on salvation somewhere in the Bible. Different message, but it's still a Bible message on salvation." You know why? Because we had people saved almost 100% of the time on Sunday morning. We always had visitors. Our people were concerned about lost people. They didn't come to church by themselves. They come to church bringing neighbors. They came to church bringing people that worked with them. They came because they had gone out on soul-winning visitation and people had come. And it was almost 100% of the time that we had people saved on Sunday morning. Most people that were looking for church or visiting or were visitors would come on Sunday morning. And it was my responsibility to preach evangelistically so that those people could hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And they got saved. Then after they get saved and after they are not newborn babes anymore, I give them milk and I give them meat, and then I give them manna so that they can grow. And so that's what happened. And I said to those people, and they never would. There's some people, I don't care if you say Paul the apostle is going to be preaching on Sunday night or Wednesday night, look at me and my God-given eyeballs. They ain't going to be here. Because they already got plans and they never include coming to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. You understand what I'm saying? And so they do that. I sometimes, when I'm preaching a revival meeting, I'll say to them, I said, "Now I know some of you ain't never been to church past Sunday. You've never been on Monday night. You've never been on Tuesday night. And you don't want to make an exception. Except, would you please come tonight? I've got something, and I'm going to tell these people in the pew not to tell you what it is. But I want you, I don't care what you promise them, they can't make it. There is no way they can make it. And so we need to come back so we can grow. Amen? And so we have to have a scriptural, spiritual food. And so that's to the pastor to feed the flock which God has placed in him, in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2. Let's look there, please, just for a moment. Chapter number 5 and verse number 2. Notice what he says. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And so the pastor has that in mind when he gives out the Word of God, and he somehow, God, the Holy Spirit, nudges him and lets him know what you need. And most of the time, Brother Lee, I kind of did it this way. I still do it this way. I just ask God what I need. And most of the time, I get you. You need it too. Amen. We both need it. And if I preach to me, then I'm going to get what I need and what you need also. So here's the challenge. He says, do not in 2:2. Look at verse number 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere, look at that word milk. Write that word milk down in 1 Peter 2:2. Now, what is milk? Maybe you do this. Maybe when you think of milk, what do you think of? Here's what I think of. Cow's milk. That we go to the store and get a whole lot more kinds of milk than cow's milk. My favorite milk is goat's milk. If you got a goat and milk it, bring me some, please. I love it. It is a whole lot better than cow's milk. And cow's milk has gotten, and I grew up on it, and I drink it for water. But I can't anymore because it doesn't agree with me. But goat's milk still agrees with me. So if you got a goat and you milk it, bring me some. Or just put it up on the table and I'll milk it. Amen? That'll be fine with me. But what is milk? Brother Danny, milk is, you ready? Pre-digested food. When you milk the goat has ate something, and the body, the machinery in the goat has turned it into milk. Same way with the cow's milk or any other, even human milk. It is pre-digested food. Now, it is food. And God has turned it into food for the baby because it is easy and it's already been pre-digested. Now, let me say this about the message that I am preaching to you today. The message that I am preaching to you today, taking care of the baby, has already been chewed by me. I have already taken it in. I've already preached it over and over, not like I'm doing now, but to me. I've already thought about it. I've already studied it. I've already looked up my words. I've already done those things. So I am giving you pre-digested food this morning that you don't have to go out and digest. But what I am saying to you is you can't live, not now, Newborn babes can, but others cannot live on pre-digested food. I am challenging you this morning to get in the Word, to stay in the Word. I'm talking about Monday morning. I'm talking about Tuesday. You need to eat. I'm talking about Wednesday. I'm talking about Thursday. I'm talking about every day of your life. You need that food, and you are to chew it up and digest it for yourself and give it to somebody else like I'm giving this. Amen? So, here it is. Newborn babes need milk. Why do they need milk? One reason is they can't digest anything else. The other reason is they need to grow. Don't they grow? And don't they grow in a hurry? Aren't you glad that at some point in your life, Brother Dave, you quit growing? Isn't that wonderful? I wish sometimes I'd quit growing. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And don't you wish you could just always grow the right direction? Huh? It's bad when you go to spreading out. Amen? And so it's important for us to start. But we all started the right way. Isn't that right? Shake your little heads up and down. We start the same way, and it's basic food until we are well grounded. Let's make a spiritual application, especially in doctrine. Have you heard these liberal churches say something like this? We just take everybody, teach them all the same thing. We don't have any doctrine in our church. Well, I know your pastor. I've known pastors before this pastor. And they taught you the Word of God. They taught you doctrine that comes from the Word of God. We were taught in Bible college that if you preach some of the same messages as every year, it's all right because you should have new people coming in that need to know the doctrines of the Word of God. Amen. And so you go back and you yearly preach those things over and over. It'll reinforce those that are already here. But then you got newcomers that need to hear the doctrines of the Word of God expounded on. You need to know what you believe. You don't believe it because I say so. You don't believe it even, but your preacher will tell you that because he says so. You believe it because it comes out of the Word of God, and everybody needs to be able to give an account of what you believe, because you're going to be out there talking to a Jehovah Witness. You're going to be out there talking to a Mormon. You're going to be out there talking to other people, and they need to know not just what you believe, what thus saith the Word of God. Amen? So it's important that you know the doctrines of the Word of God. You don't say, well, I believe that because that's what the preacher believes. Well, now that happens and should happen to be right. But you do it because he gives it to you out of the Word of God. Amen. Write this down, milk. Write this down, meat. Meat. Eat meat to grow in grace. Now, me taking on formula and milk right now probably wouldn't do me a lot of good. May not do you a lot of good. I got to have some strong meat. You like meat. I do too. What about these idiots that's trying to do away with it? We got idiots running this country. I mean some real idiots. Strong meat. Let's look at that. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Look at it. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of, say it, full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses, what's that word? Exercise to discern. Be able to make a judgment. Well, Brother Brown, I don't believe in judging. Yeah, you better. You better discern both good and evil. If you don't know good from evil, then you don't know how to discern it. And you better judge it, and you better judge it right. So we need strong meat, especially, are you listening to me? In 2023. In this day and time, why? Because we have spiritual apostasy and compromise. See, I got to go home today and look up the word catalyst. I saw it on the way here this morning. When I read what churches are now, I can't even tell you what they are. I got a home. I think I know pretty well, but I don't know how to explain it like I'd like to. So I'm going to go look it up. But I wrote them down one day. Just going from here to Atlanta, there'll be 25 or 30. I'll have to go to the dictionary and see what they are, what they believe. But here's the fact, Brother Mike, they don't even know what they believe. Anything go? And these things are coming up. We're living in the day of compromise. That's how Taz Russell, who is that? Somebody tell me. Taz Russell. He is the author, the founder of the Jehovah Witnesses. He grew up in a Baptist preacher's home. And he couldn't stand. He was bothered at the thought of him going to hell. And so he has a volume, a set, like encyclopedias, of what he has written, trying to do away with and explain hell. You can write about it, try to do away with it, write volumes if you want to. It is not going to do away with hell. He's still on his way to hell, and that is where he's going. But he feared hell, so he started the Jehovah Witness. Now, I know that to be a fact. How great is the challenge to a God-called pastor today, different from 32 years ago, to feed the flock of God, which God has made you the overseer? How great is that challenge? When so many church members know more, are you listening to me? They know more about the names of Hollywood stars. They know more about the numbers, the figures on Wall Street, than they know about the doctrines in the Word of God. It's time to get concerned and put the feed on the table and strong meat. I had this happen to me. I won't mention a name. It's not important. The lady in my church, she was a member of my church most of the time that I pastored there. I thought myself to be a pretty good preacher or teacher or doctrinally, I considered myself as knowing the Word and putting it out. And several years after I wasn't the pastor there, her daughter called me. I think Yale might have been in the store. I was sitting in the parking lot, like I do so many times. Now, they'll give you a ticket if you leave your puppy there unattended. But she's left me in the parking lot without food or water many a time. And I'm in the parking lot waiting on her. I do that sometimes till I get sore. And then every once in a while, most of the time, she'll come by without anything in her hand. But I got a call from this woman. Now, she was a teenager when I pastored her. And I said to her, called her name, I said, "Are y'all in church?" "Oh, yes, Brother Brown." I said, "Really? That's wonderful. Where are y'all in church at?" Her mama was in the store. She said, "Kingdom Hall." What'd that do to me? Somebody tell me. It's just like you let the air out of my balloon. I just dropped. And I just, that I could have missed that. How? I told them. I showed them. But they are out there. Do you know who their prey is? You know who most of their prey, the Mormons, and let me say this, even the Jehovah, you know where most of it comes from? You want me to give you something I don't want to give you? Baptist churches. Most Baptists get all they're going to get Sunday morning, and they don't get anything else till they're back the next Sunday morning. And they couldn't pass a test giving you the books of the Bible and how many is in the Old Testament and how many is in the New Testament. Sometimes it's not the pastor's fault. Most of the time it isn't. It's that we decide we get all we're going to get. You can't get enough of the Word of God. Let me move on. The pastor is to feed the flock. Every false cult today comes and makes up ex-Baptists. Milk, meat. Let me say this. I don't know how long I've preached. I hadn't looked, so just bear with me. Can I finish? It won't take me long. Manna. What do you call that, Brother Brown? Spiritual dessert. Billy Kelly. Eat. How many of you knew Billy Kelly? At least his name. And you could tell he ate. He said he wouldn't even mess up his teeth unless he had a sitting of eggs. Now, some of you know what that is. I'm not sure. I would think it'd be a whole dozen. But he said he didn't want to get his teeth dirty unless he had a whole sitting of eggs. But he'd eat, and then they told him to save the fork. And he'd already told them he was full up to here. He couldn't eat no more. But when they said they had the lemon pie waiting, he said, "Well, you already said you're full." He said, "Yeah, but I saved my neck." Spiritual dessert. I'm talking about angels' food. I'm talking about wafers and honey. Don't be content with the milk. Don't be content with the bread. Get the wafers and get the honey. And milk and meat is not enough. I'm talking about digging deep in the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful when you see something you hadn't seen before? And you done read it and read it. I mean, you've been reading your Bible through 35 years. every year. And then you get something, you say, oh, my, look what God. My wife does that to me sometimes. She'll say, hey, honey, come here, come here. I said, what you want? She said, God's done give me something in the Word of God I ain't never seen before. She's excited about it. She said, does that mean that? And I said, I believe it does. Amen. Amen. Proper diet, spiritual food, proper exercise. Without exercise, the body will not develop. Number one, worshiping. Look at John 4:24. John 4:24. God is a what? God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Look at the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is worship. Thou shalt, say it with me, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thy mind. Worshiping. Love the Lord God. Love him. No other. Nothing. Don't let anything take your time from him. Witnessing. Fruit of the Christian life is what? Producing another Christian. Reproducing yourself. Show love and obedience and devotion by telling what? The old, old story. Don't you like that song? Tell me the story of Jesus. Listen, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story of Jesus. Sing it with, I done forgot. Sweetest that ever was heard. Amen. Tell me the old, old story. And then working. Look with me, please, to John's gospel, if you'll turn there for a moment. John 9. And verse number 4, I'm talking now not only worshiping, not only witnessing, but what about working? Jesus in John 9:3 answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Strong character, hard work. Make your kids work. Make them be responsible. No place for a lazy Christian in God's work. Work develops our spiritual muscles. How do we know that? We know it because of the Word of God. Time, fair proportion. What has he... What if we stopped? And I went around and I said, and Thanksgiving's almost here. And I said, tell me what God's done for you. What did he do today? What did he do yesterday? You can't stop. It's indescribable, Brother Ben. And then what about the talents that God has given you? You know what he did? He gave you time for working. He gave you time. He gives you time for relaxation. He gives you time for recreation. He gives you time for friends. Brother Roy, he even gives us time for hunting. Isn't that wonderful? He gives me time for sleeping. How about you? Do you get a little time for sleep? I never got none in Bible college. They didn't give you time for that in Bible college. There wasn't no way. You could remember 400 verses of Scripture while you were sleeping. You couldn't do it. You had to stay up to do it. I tried it one time where they say, you know, just read something in your mind, read it, and when you get up in the morning, you'll be going over it all night and you won't forget it. It didn't happen to me. When I laid down, it went out the window. Talents. What is that? I'm talking about God-given abilities. in Matthew 25. Make for certain that you are using every talent that God has given to you. And guess what? According to Matthew 25, guess what He'll do? He'll multiply those talents. To one, He'll give two. To two, He'll give four. To five, He'll give ten. And if you don't use them, He'll take them away and give them to the one that had ten. Amen? And then tithes. Oh, maybe some people would hoping I wouldn't get here. Have you ever heard this? Preacher, I tithe a little bit. You do not. You may tip a little bit, but you are either tithing or you are not tithing. Tithing's minimum. Tithing never did belong to you or me. It never was ours. You can't even give the tithe that already belongs to God. How are you going to give it when it's His? And you know what you do when you don't give it and give it truthfully and right and hilariously? You don't get counted for it. Oh, you done give it away, but you ain't going to get the blessing for doing it because you did it grudgingly. Sheriff came in. Somebody stole the tithe between Sunday school and church, took off with it, called the sheriff. They got him, brought him back. Preacher wouldn't press charges. Why? He said, how many church members am I going to have to press charges for next week? Proper discipline, love and affection, separation from others, essential for growth. Thank God for Christian homes. Security, discipline, spiritually satisfied. Isn't it wonderful to walk with God? I cut you off an hour, so you thank me for that. I just mentioned that. Proper diet, proper exercise. Amen? Get you some manner. Amen? And then next time I see you, come say, Brother Brown, have you ever seen this before? Show it to me. And I'll rejoice with you like I do with my wife, like she does with me. I'm talking about taking care of the baby. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. That is our responsibility. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.